Back here on 102.5 The Game. This is DVD, D-Mace, Vingan, Donick. Adam Vingan out for the day. Back with us tomorrow. We'll be at Bridgestone Arena. Predators taking on the Blues. The Sweet 16 gets going. And don't forget, DVD is brought to you and presented by Bet365. That's 365. Bet365, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. And we're also broadcasting for the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Let's say this about Kentucky. We got a lot of people weighing in our text line about Kentucky. Remember where they were last year? Caroline was still part of the show. There was a total freak out on John Calipari after they lost that game in the first round. Right?
Yeah.
They lost to your guys from Michigan, Oakland. Remember the guy hit the 10 threes?
Yes.
And Kentucky Nation just exploded. What the heck is going on? We got to get Calipari out of here. But then when they hired Mark Pope, don't you think there was a little bit of panic? Like, whoa. Mark Pope, like he hadn't really done a ton as far as just wins and tournament championships and Final Fours. He didn't have that. But a year later, I feel like Mark Pope has won over the Kentucky fans. Do you feel that? Like at least in his first year. Now, if he loses on Friday and it doesn't go well, there's always discontent. But I feel like he's done a pretty good job winning people over in the first year. Is that a fair thing? If Kentucky fans disagree with me, I would love to hear that perspective. 615-737-1025. He's a really likable guy. Mm-hmm. He dives into the media part of it, right? He played there. He knows how big it is there. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't shy away. Kind of like Barry Trotz, he's out in front of it. He accepts the criticism. He talks. He knows the expectations, right? He embraces that part of it. I think that helps him.
Yeah, it does. And it also helps that you beat then, at the time, the number six team in the country early in the season in Duke. So when out of your eight straight wins, or what is seven straight wins they had, one of those wins were against Duke. And then you come back and you beat Gonzaga. At the time, they were ranked seventh. So when you start early on, once you change regimes and that coach comes in and he starts winning some of those big games, I think you start to get more of a buy-in. But I think Kentucky fans are like, listen, as long as you're a Kentucky head coach, we love you. We love the university more than we love you, so we're going to root for the university. Or we love the program more than we love the actual coach, but we're going to root for the program no matter who's out there. But I think when you have 7 to 8 straight wins, and in those wins you beat the sixth-ranked team with arguably who may end up being the best player in college basketball in Cooper Flagg with 2 G's, okay, who you voted for your player.
For the Wooden Award, yes.
He planted the flag.
Exactly.
I did plant the flag.
Oh, absolutely. So when you have a coach coming in and he's winning those games, then it does – give you a sense of, okay, we may be all right. We should be all right. We got the talent. We should be a better coach team. Let's just say that, because that was sort of the knock on Cal. Like, he couldn't, you know, when it came down to it, he couldn't win those games. And it seemed like he was out-coached a lot of times. Now, they went on to have a up and down season, and a lot of it, you know, had to do with you know, not having their, and you spelled it out, as far as cohesiveness amongst the unit, they were ranked damn near at the bottom.
Yeah,
of
with all the injuries. All of the injuries.
Because of the injuries,
They didn't have great continuity.
Exactly. So even with
355th out of 364. And minutes continuity on the
exactly.
Kickball.
So even with that, you beat the Vols twice in
the
season.
Had some big wins.
Yeah, they've had some huge wins. So at least from my perspective, now, I'm not a Kentucky, you know, blue and blue. I'm not going to even call y'all homers. Well, y'all probably are, but we are on Tennessee's airwaves. But we do go into any other airwaves we want to because of the app.
And we get in Kentucky. Our signal gets up in Kentucky.
We get that Kentucky area. But Listen, I would tend to think, Willie, that he's won the base over because of some of the big wins he's had within the conference, out of conference, and now he's gotten his team to the Sweet 16.
They now, and it was done almost out of necessity mm-hmm. by Pope, but it's become the normal thing. Because remember, Calipari, I still think, still prefers the give me the high-end high school recruits, the one-and-dones, the guys that are going to play in the NBA, and I'm going to keep that as my brand, and I'm going to show you, look at all these guys playing in the NBA from Kentucky, and there's a ton of them. But it was becoming harder and harder to win with a younger roster. And so now Mark Pope, Otega Owe, famously transfers from Oklahoma, where he played for 2 years, and he had two buzzer beaters against Oklahoma this year. Lamont Butler, we just talked about, 3 years, 4 years at San Diego State, comes to Kentucky for 1 year. And this is probably the biggest dilemma going on for college basketball, the good and the bad.
Yes.
I saw a number. I texted it to you guys this morning. But the viewership for this tournament for TNT and CBS is the biggest viewership for the NCAA tournament since 1993. That's how hot it is. This is a fun product to watch. The problem is that they average, by the way, 9.4 million viewers through the second round. That's impressive. That's a new height. And so the fans are embracing the product. The only problem, I also sent you guys a chart that somebody did on Twitter. It was really interesting. And they took the starting five uh-huh. of all teams in the Sweet 16, and they put the logo of the school where the each player in the starting five started their college career. Forget about if there was a third school in there, which often is the case, right? There's a lot of people who play for three schools. I mean, Cam Ward played for three schools, right? It's happening in all the sports.
I was wondering, how do I interpret this?
Right. So they made you guess which school is which. Now, Michigan State is still a little bit old school. They only have one transfer among their starting five. And Duke is also a school with at least their starting five only has one transfer. But Kentucky is now much more like a lot of schools. Mm-hmm. Purdue is, by the way, the only team that has all five starting five that have only been at Purdue. But it is evolving a lot. And I know for fan bases that is frustrating. And I think of Kentucky fans a lot with this, because I played during the era where they had Richie Farmer, Sean Woods, John Pelfrey, Darren Feldhaus. They put those guys' numbers in the rafters. Those guys weren't great players, but they were there for 4 years. They went through the tough times when Kentucky went on probation. And then Rick Pitino revived the program. He brought in Jamal Mashburn, and they overachieved. They won the hearts of the Kentucky fans, but it was over a 2 or 3 year period.
Yeah.
And the fans fell in love with the way they played the game. You don't see that anymore, right? Now, at the beginning of every year, you're looking around going, where's this guy from? Where's that guy from? It took me a month to learn Vanderbilt's roster this year. Because the whole team was new. I loved how they played, but I didn't know anything about them. I hadn't watched them grow from year to year. It was weird, but I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But you do lose something when you have this free agency every year.
It's crazy because you're looking at
But people this. Are watching.
Yeah, you're looking at this. And it because the top team is the original team, right? On every
right.
line.
You're looking team. At this. I was the same way. It looks like you're playing a crossword puzzle or something.
Every team in the SEC, it seems like, if I'm reading this right, UT, Auburn, where is Florida at?
Florida is the middle because the only reason I knew it was Florida, Florida only has one starter that's been only at Florida. The other four starters or transfers, one of them started at Belmont.
Yeah, because they have Iona at the top, but...
Iona, that's where Clayton started.
Yeah, so you're looking at the SEC teams, and they are all like guys from other schools.
It's free agents.
They didn't start at the SEC.
It's free agents.
Yeah, it's just free. The SEC has been free agency.
Right.
Which is, I get it.
There's a guy on Florida's team, and I'll look up his name because I don't have their names memorized. Obviously, I watch the play. I know the numbers, how they look. Mm-hmm. But obviously, Walter Clayton, he started at Iona. Will Richard, way back when, played at Belmont in 2022 for Casey Alexander. He's now played 3 years at Florida. They've got a guy who played in the Final Four for Florida Atlantic.
Oh, wow.
A couple years ago when they were the Cinderella team. He's still playing college basketball.
Hold on, Willie,
I think he's like 37 years old.
Where is Michigan at in this?
Well, the fact that you don't see a lot of big M's on there tells you they have a lot of transfers.
Their whole team is transfers.
It's a really interesting exercise.
Is that,
if people want
is that
do
a
it,
typo?
If people
because
want
I don't
to look,
see them on there at all.
Google on Twitter or X, whatever, NCAA buzzer beaters and game winners. It's such a long handle. I could barely even. It's cut
and
off.
And
on
this
the
is
thing.
Just the starting five.
It's
right?
It's the starting five, oh, and wow. it says it's a game. They show a big chart of the starting five for all 16 teams, but they don't tell you which team is which. And they say try to figure out which team is which, where every Sweet 16 team's starting five began playing college basketball. The only reason I knew how to identify Ole Miss, who has one player in their starting five that started at Ole Miss, is because the Vanderbilt logo was there, and I knew Malik Dia started at Vanderbilt. It's incredible. What do you think the average is for each team? One or two?
One or two, yeah.
Most of these teams have the majority of their starting five that started at a different school. It's becoming normal to have a team of transfers.
Duke, Purdue, Michigan State, and is this Houston?
Houston has three out of five.
Yeah.
BYU, they have three out of five.
Yeah.
Purdue is the only team that has an entire starting five.
Duke has
of
four
guys
out of
that have
five.
Been only at Purdue.
Exactly. Duke has four out of five. Michigan State has four to five. And then everybody else sort of falls.
And there are teams that have zero for five.
Yeah. That's Michigan. Because I don't see them anywhere on this list. I don't even see their logo.
I do not see them. They don't have a starter on another team.
Exactly. Did they leave Michigan out on purpose? Which I'm glad they did.
No, they're in there somewhere.
We can decode it
by cheating and looking it up. But it's a fascinating lens into where college basketball is.
I got it.
But the audience is there. The product is good.
You're right.
The audience is as big as it's been, or bigger than any year since 1993. 1993 was my senior year in college. That was the year Vanderbilt won the SEC regular season championship, lost in the Sweet 16. Kentucky was number one most of that year. They got to the Final Four, and that was the Chris Webber timeout year. The Fab Five in their second year, they lost to North Carolina in a great final. That was a big-time year in college basketball. It's also one of the last years that the top players stayed for at least two or sometimes even three or four years. It was before the one-and-dones started just taking over in the mid-90s. So it was when you could still, that was the traditional model of you could follow your players year after year, growing up, gelling, becoming better, getting the big recruit to add to the returning starters, all of that. How do you even do returning starters now?
You don't.
Returning starters from what team?
This is absolutely right. Michigan has nobody on their team that started.
Yep. Remember, they changed coaches,
Michigan.
Right? They fired Juwan Howard, so they brought in Dusty, whatever his name is.
Dusty May.
And he brought in a new team, just like Mark Byington did.
He brought in a whole new team, like a whole starting five. Like, you got guys from Ohio State, guys from Auburn, guys from, what's the big fella? He's from the big Russian.
Big Russian kid?
Yeah, he's from, what school did he start at? I'm about to tell you, right? He started at Texas Tech, then went to FAU for 3 years and then transferred to Michigan.
This is third year.
Yeah, oh, so, man.
So he was with Dusty May at FAU.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, when we come back, we'll continue this. I'll throw this out there. I'll be way in on any matchup in the Sweet 16, but I love talking college basketball. We're all in. D-Mace, the Sparties are in it, so he's into this tournament. No question about it. Are you digging the college basketball? Or do you have a renewed vigor? Or does part of you still long for, you wish people stayed longer, or do you not even care about this? Forget about the Steve Alford and the ethics part of it, or the is this good for the kids? I have my concerns about that too. But I have to say, the product is fun. I can watch any game, and it's gonna be intriguing to watch. 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our phone and text line, please join us and participate in the discussion. Clay has been waiting. We're going to get Clay on the other side. Also, 102.5 The Game and Bavarian Beer House have teamed up to give away tickets to see Billy Idol and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Hey, there we go. A little 80s action there. They're coming to Bridgestone Arena in the all-inclusive Eurostone Club Saturday, May 17th. You could be sitting in the all-inclusive Eurostone Club May 17th to watch Joan Jett and the Blackhearts and Billy Idol. Tune into Chase and Big Joe tomorrow during the 9 a.m. hour for the keyword to texting for your chance to win tickets. Bavarian Beer House, located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy traditional German beer, brats, giant pretzels, and more in their expensive beer hall and garden. All right, we're back here on DVD.
Got a little Black Bell,
Black Betty?
Black Betty. Betty. Yeah. Ram and Jam.
Blackberry.
No, Blackberry. Black Chuck Berry?
Chuck Berry's brother?
Raspberry? Blueberry? Black Betty, yes. That's
Betty,
a good one. That's
Black
a Chris,
Betty,
that's
yes.
A Chris Mason. He loves that tune. He goes in it. There's a that makes its way through the arenas sometimes when we're out and about. 615-737-1025. We're just shooting the breeze here on the NCAA tournament. Highest viewership since 1993. That goes back when D-Mace was in college. Were you in college in 93, or were you just graduating high school?
I was just graduating high school.
Okay, yeah. So you remember Fab Five versus North Carolina and Dean Smith?
Absolutely.
This is the biggest viewership since then. State of college basketball, matchups, things that you like with the Sweet 16 starting tomorrow, and of course Tennessee and Kentucky is going to be at the center. Clay is on our phone. He's been waiting patiently, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Clay, what do you got?
Willie Donick, how are we doing?
I'm hanging in there, Clay. How are you?
I would wait all day to get a chance to talk to you, Willie.
I appreciate
that. And also
to
talk to my man, D-Mace.
What's going on?
Do you remember me, Derek?
Say it again.
I said, do you remember meeting me and talking to me when y'all did your show remote with Caroline at, I'm trying to think of the name of the place, down there on Broadway, close to, what was the brewer ship that was down there? And now it's...
I remember the one we did by Vanderbilt.
Clay, you got to realize D-Mace is a very important person. He can't walk out of the building without getting flooded with people introducing
themselves.
Hey,
I'm just trying to remember all the places that we did a remote last year or something right there. But I'm sure, yes, I'm sure that, because we've only been in so many places down there.
So, Clay, what do you got? What do you got on the game?
So, y'all were talking Tennessee and Kentucky matchup earlier. I know I'm going back a little ways.
Yeah.
As you know, Willie, me being a Vandy guy, and, when Calipari was at Kentucky, I didn't like John Calipari. And, of course, what he was doing at Kentucky is now completely legal. But anyway.
That's a game changer as well, that everything – you can't talk about a coach that might push the envelope or bend the rules, even break the rules anymore, because there are no rules.
Right, right. So, in the past, I would just hope they'd kind of beat each other up and not pull for either one. But as far as you mentioned Mark Pope, and I can tell you what a lot of Kentucky fans feel about Mark Pope, because I asked some people, during the SEC tournament, actually I was in Barlines at the Omni, right there near Bridgestone. So
good spot.
Mark Pope has won those fans over. By these people told me that this guy, as you know, Willie, back when you used to do games and stuff like that, the Kentucky fans stick around, for the post game, sit in the stands, and they do the, the post game right out there on the court.
Sure.
And supposedly he has, done the post game, all that. And according to these people, he sticks around for an hour to hour and a half doing nothing but signing autographs.
That's a smart move, and it won't save him completely, but it will buy him extra time to get him through the tough times. It's a great point. Clay, let me let you go on that because I got a lot of people here on the text line, but it's great to catch up with you. Good stuff. Let's follow up with a couple of texts from our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. JD texts in, the reason Kentucky is that way is because Cal left and took all the players with him. that's what happens.
Yeah.
That's what happens. That's why Michigan is like it is, right?
Exactly, yeah.
We have one player that was under scholarship whenever Pope took over. Pope had to build a team through the portal because all of the recruits went elsewhere when Cal left. That's what Vanderbilt did. That's what Michigan did. So this is becoming all too common. He also says Brea, and Brea is an interesting one. If you look at Kentucky, you could probably watch Kentucky play, and this is maybe my perspective. I don't watch them every night. I probably saw them play 7 or 8 times, and each time was a little different. And their combination was different. We talked about the continuity. So on a different night, it could be a different player that was making the big plays. So he talks about Brea. And when you look at their KenPom page, Brea doesn't even really show up in the top five. He's as a starter or a guy that gets the main minutes because he's more of a guy that's emerged. But his efficiency is really, really good. Kobe Brea, 44% from three. He's going to be an important guy against a great defensive team. Now, Brea, like a lot of guys, 4 full years of college basketball at Dayton, 1 year at Kentucky. But this is how you win now.
Yeah.
You have to have guys like that.
Yeah, you got to have those transfers because, I mean, and listen, they put up that sort of what do you want to call it? Guess who lineup it is, or guess which program this is. There's a reason why they put that up because, you know, frankly, this is where, you know, or this is where we're at now, not where we're heading, where we're at now. And this is a point that, not sort of this point, meaning different transfer and which team has more transfers and which teams have more guys that have that started with their schools. It goes back to what, because Jared was discussing this yesterday, but I heard it prior to that on ESPN, and they were talking about what's messing up college and what's. And I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday as well about NIL and all this other stuff, how it's changing basketball and maybe not in a good way because the Cinderellas don't have an opportunity to truly win anymore. And
that is a theme.
Yeah, and I would bet
that's a theory that I think does concern some people going forward.
Exactly.
Is it going to get harder, only harder and harder from here
for
the mid-majors?
But I think if you polled, if you did the numbers, the percentages of a Cinderella team, you know, being made through the tournament, it's very slim. I'm sure if you did the numbers throughout the whole years, because with Cinderella, we're talking about really 16th seed, 15th, 4th, I guess anywhere from that 13 to 16, or maybe even 12. And on some, maybe not this year because the SEC was so deep, but let's just say 13 through 16. I guarantee the percentages are not that high on those teams having a Final Four type run or even an Elite Eight type run. So I don't think that because of the transfers, I think you're still going to have your percentages because basketball, unlike any other sport, if the ball, you can have the prettiest shot and you can be shooting it the same way every game, but sometimes that rim get tight. And it just, for whatever reason, and we've heard it, you can't hit the broad side of a barn. You could throw a rock in the ocean. You know, it's just, it happens. And basketball is one of those sports that it happens more times than not. I'm just talking about basketball in general, not just the March Madness. So I think you're still going to have this. But what happens is I think it continues to solidify the top teams. Because what they're going to do is go out and grab those guys from mid-majors. And it's going to keep them in the tournament a little bit longer. Not to say that you know, you won't get your 13th seed or 14th seed that may make it to the Sweet 16.
Here's a question I have for you. Yeah, and this is for the listeners as well. Let's take Belmont.
Uh-huh.
Belmont has two players that are playing in the Sweet 16, not for Belmont. They started at Belmont.
Yeah.
Now they're not at Belmont anymore. Malik Diaz, one, and then the kid from Florida we just talked about, Will Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Belmont still had a really good year. They won 20 games again. They've won 20 games each of the last 15 years. They lost in the semifinals of the Missouri Valley tournament. But clearly, Belmont's resources for NIL are not what Ole Miss, Florida, et cetera, have, right?
Mm-hmm.
We agree on that?
Yeah.
And so if this moves forward another year or two and it becomes tougher and tougher for, quote, the little guy to pull the big upsets, you don't see a Valparaiso get to the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. You don't see a Florida Atlantic or a Loyola Chicago get to the Final Four. And you lose that ingredient. The NCAA tournament will live on, I think. But what if you have designated leagues before the year that are deemed mid-major?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have the resources, clearly, that the Power Four, all those teams, and you throw the Big East in there. You designate leagues that don't fit into this category. And after the first week of the tournament, in other words, the first two rounds, you had a separate group of 16 of the best mid-majors playing for a championship. And you might say, well, is that right to double dip? You know, you would then be taking a double dip. Let's say whoever you thought was the Cinderella this year. Let's say Lipscomb, right? Lipscomb is the Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
They met certain criteria that maybe a committee would have. Top 100 in the KenPom, top 100 in the net. And you take the 16 best teams by a committee, and you played for a second-level championship. Is that something people would watch? Is that something those teams would be interested in? To be the best of the teams that don't have basically pros playing out there.
You know,
I mean, I'm thinking out loud. I don't know if that would be huge ratings on TV, but I think somebody would televise it.
So would that take the place of the NIT?
Maybe. Or maybe it would go alongside the NIT. The NIT still has a lot of – they have some mid-majors, but it's those that didn't make the big dance. My tournament, my new tournament, would have teams that made the big dance, but they just weren't quite good enough to advance to the Sweet 16.
So they're double dipping. So they play in a loser.
But they're obviously in a different category.
They play in a loser tournament.
But they're now playing against teams their own.
More so them.
Yeah.
But they're playing in a losers tournament.
Right. It's almost like, you know,
in our state,
you have Class A, Class Double A, and for high school, right? There's different levels of state championships.
Uh-huh.
So couldn't you do that in college? Maybe. What it does to the NIT, that's another question.
Yeah,
but oftentimes it's a team from a power conference that wasn't quite good enough to make it, and they win the NIT anyway.
It may dissolve. But what it seems like to me, that's the loser's tournament. It's a loser's tournament, but it's also a definition of
the mid-major.
You may have to.
The best mid-major.
You may have.
So good, would Gonzaga and Memphis be a part of that? Because those are two, that's where you get in some gray area. But they are like top tier programs.
I think you would have to designate, and this is where it would get gray.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like there's teams, the high school, right? They're like, they're a small school, but hey, they got a lot of resources. They're really good.
Oh, cool.
Should they be playing against these little guys? I didn't mention any names. David did. Open enrollment. Oh, there's all kinds of loopholes, right? Gonzaga is a great example. St. Mary's would be a great example. Memphis, I still think, would be considered major, even though they don't play. They play the American Conference would be one of those. Which is it? Is it major or mid-major? I would consider it major. But I don't think Gonzaga is, in anybody's mind, a mid-major anymore. So you would have to designate before the season who would qualify for this tournament. You couldn't cherry-pick at the end of the season. You would have to say, all of these schools, all of these leagues are in this category. It's just an idea. I don't know. Because if you're playing a different game when you don't have NIL to speak of, and the teams you're trying to beat for the championship have tons of NIL.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I Will it survive? Or what? I don't see.
Like, you still have the tournament.
Yeah,
you still have the hope.
But I don't see how
it's just harder for Cinderella's to win. I think
it's always been hard for those teams to win. But I think what makes it more glaring now is because of what we see when sort of things are put out like that, where all the top teams that are in the Sweet 16, look at how many of them don't have their original players. Like, their players have come, and even their players, some of their players, and a few of these, more than a few, the players they're getting are coming from Power 5 conferences or Power 4 conferences.
And you know, the flip side of that is so many players who played at sort of obscure mid-major schools are the best players for the top, because they have just matured and got like Chaz Lanier, right?
Yeah, but I think you're still going to, because
but
of,
you're right.
Of these
there, for every guy that moves up, there's a guy that was up there that's moving down.
Exactly.
But maybe that was a player that was misevaluated and just maybe isn't that good.
But then you know what happened?
It's not necessarily a fair trade.
But
fair?
Here's what happened quickly before we go to break. When those players from Power 4 conferences that may have got that got some playing time, but they just wanted more playing time, or somebody offered them a little bit more money, when those guys transfer down to what we deem mid-major colleges now, if enough guys transfer, we don't consider them mid-majors anymore, at least for that season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because now what has happened, especially if they're winning, well, the guys from the Power 4, they just transferred to the mid-majors, which now doesn't technically, yes, it makes them a mid-major still, but when you're talking about the production on the floor,
right,
or going against a Power 4 team, they're not like your traditional mid-major.
You might have to have something measurable and not like subjective. You might have to say, look, here's what we can pay our team. here is our NIL budget.
That's not NIL. That's just paying people.
That's the thing. It's like, it's not really, why even call it NIL? Yeah. Because it's basically, how much are we paying? What's our payroll for our team? And that's becoming a central question for every program. And so maybe if we disclose that, which you don't have to right now, we don't know exactly who's paying the most. You get a report here and there. Like, you'd always hear Ohio State in football has got a blank payroll. It's the highest of anybody. And all the other schools are like, well, we got to get to that level. So maybe you have a requirement that says, look, we have to disclose, and we're under a certain level, and therefore we're eligible for this second-tier mid-major championship. I don't know, just an idea, but this is where college basketball is going, college sports are going. Stay tuned. We've got our final segment of the show coming up just around the corner. We'll take your phones and text 615-737-1025. We're talking DVD. Hey, this week's Nashville Best Deal is Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar. That's where we were last week. Had a great experience over there. And it's just in time for the NCAA tournament. Sweet 16, you can go to any of those Boomba's locations, score half off with a $30 gift card, and enjoy their award-winning pizza and handcrafted beverages. Visit them in Nashville, Spring Hill, or Murfreesboro. The one in Nashville is on the east side. Oh, yeah, that's my spot. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals now while supplies last. Coming down the home stretch here on DVD. And coming up next will be Jared Stillman, Stillman and Company. Sweet 16 tomorrow. We've had all kinds of action on our text line today, which has been a lot of fun. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you want to get a last-minute text in, do it. 615-737-1025. And I'm guessing this unnamed texter is a Lipscomb fan here, but he said, the depth and experience is what he sees changing so much in college basketball. A guy can now leave a Lipscomb and make $500,000 per year to be a role player at the next level up. And that is happening. And I concur with that.
Yeah.
And we're talking, I mean, it may not always be $500,000, but let's say it's half of that. Let's say it's $250,000.
Yeah, or $100,000.
And at your school, whether it's Lipscomb or Middle Tennessee or Austin Peay or all of these teams in our area that are mid-major and probably on the front end have to tell their players, hey, look, if you can get a deal NIL with the local pizza joint just off of campus that you and your buddies like to go to, mm-hmm. and you can get a little extra dough, do it. But we cannot on the front end say, Derek, if you come to our school, we can get you anything sniffing 250K.
But there's no way. But I think it's because
so they have no defense. They cannot, unless they say, Derek, you know, you really like it here.
Yeah, you're right.
We're going to keep you on scholarship. Yeah. We're going to do everything we can for you. We can't get you 250K.
Yeah, we got.
So what is Derek going to do?
Yeah, no matter how many of those small companies ante up.
Yeah.
will it equal $100,000 that school is offering? Probably not, because
you can't compete.
No, it can't compete. But here's where, you know, because this has become the NBA, basically, essentially, that's what it's become, a professional league, because you got GMs now, people to manage the money,
you got a budget, coach,
you got agents involved or whatever they call them, but they're involved. So basically, this is the professional leagues. And what is it that the professional leagues, and let's just say the NBA, what is it that they're trying to create on their team? They're trying to create a big three and then a bench. A bench that can come in when the big three, two of the three need to rest. We can throw in three other guys or four other guys to make it all five. But at least the guys that are coming off the bench, at least two or three of them are top-level mid-major players, but backups at the power four. But when they come in, because they're good players, they're going to be able to play a little bit above their, you know, sort of their ceiling. Their ceiling. They'll play a little bit above because of now they have moved up to the power four. So if I take a guy for Lipscomb that had been lighting it up for 25 or 24 a night or 23 a night, with maybe six assists and four rebounds, well, I may bring him on my team, but he's still not a starter for my team. But what he does enhances my bench, just like any other professional team. You want to have your power three in a bench. If you have a deep – with every team, look at every team that won championships just about. Their bench have given them really good minutes.
Oh, yeah.
That's basically what this is now. I need a bench.
Yeah.
I need a team that can come in when the big three or the big four need some rest. I need a bench that can come in and keep it online
right.
for us.
So going back to that text, those programs that can afford to pay
$500,000
or $300,000 for a guy who's going to end up being the seventh man, that's an advantage.
Like, and he's still going to play 15 minutes a game?
Yeah. And if that's all right with the kid, the kid's other choice is to make nothing but be the main man for the school he's at. So it's an interesting question to go down the road and look at what this is going on, the ripple effects. But in the meantime, we're loving the college hoops. No question about it. All right, we're done for the day. We hand the baton to Jared. He's raring to go. Adam will be back with us tomorrow. We'll be at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Predators are back in action. So signing off from DVD.
Be loved. Love on your people. Have a safe, love on all people, please. But have a safe, wonderful, and blessed Wednesday hump day. Peace.